പ്രൈസ് ദി ലോർഡ്. എത്ര പേർക്ക് ദൈവത്തിൻ്റെ അനുഗ്രഹം വേണം? ഹൗ മെനി ഓഫ് us want the blessing of God? No sisters, or you don't lift properly. Okay, you want God's blessing for your life. We all want, right? But I want to ask us this morning, is there a difference between the blessing of God and the blessings of God? I have a very short message. Somebody said, blessed are those who preach a short message, for they shall be invited again. Think about it. Is there a difference between the blessing of God and the blessings of God? Undo devathinte anugrahavum devathinte anugrahangalum thammi vyathasam undo? Think about it. Yes, there is. In the Bible we see two meanings to the word bless or blessing. Rand arthathilana vedapusthathil adu ezhuthirikkune. One is the Hebrew word which actually translates to the meaning of knee, mutta, knee. It is an attitude of kneeling down. It is actually a picture of animals coming to a stream to kneel down and drink of the water. So when we say we come for the blessing, we kneel down before God and drink from God. Amen. നമ്മൾ ദൈവസന്നിധി അനുഗ്രഹത്തിന് വരുമ്പോൾ ദൈവസന്നിധിയിൽ നമ്മൾ മുട്ടുകുത്തി ദൈവത്തിൽ നിന്ന് അനുഗ്രഹം നമ്മൾ കുടിക്കുക. വി ആർ ഡ്രിങ്കിംഗ് ഫ്രം ദ റിവർ ഓഫ് ലൈഫ്. വി ആർ ഡ്രിങ്കിംഗ് ഫ്രം ഗോഡ്. സോ ദാറ്റ്സ് വൺ മീനിങ് ഓഫ് ബ്ലെസ്. എൻ ഇമേജ് ഓഫ് ആനിമൽസ് കമ്മിങ് നീലിംഗ് ഡൗൺ ടു ഡ്രിങ്ക് വാട്ടർ. ഇറ്റ്സ് എൻ ആറ്റിറ്റ്യൂഡ് ഓഫ് റിസീവിംഗ്. ഇറ്റ്സ് എൻ ആറ്റിറ്റ്യൂഡ് ഓഫ് ഡ്രിങ്കിംഗ് ഫ്രം ഗോഡ്. ബട്ട് ദേർ ഇസ് അനദർ മീനിങ് ടു ദ വേർഡ് ബ്ലെസ്. Some of us get confused when we say bless the Lord at all times. I would say, how can I bless God? Have you ever asked that? I've asked that myself. We say, God, I want the blessing. God, you will bless me. But then we read the Psalms and bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. And we seemingly there's a contradiction. And we say, how can I bless God? ദൈവത്തെ ഞാൻ എങ്ങനെ അനുഗ്രഹിക്കുന്നത്? Are you with me? There's nothing wrong with the Bible. It is just the other meaning of the word bless. And that is, when I say I bless the Lord, it means that I am making a kind of a eulogy. It's a praise unto God. It's a word of appreciation. You're saying, God, I appreciate you. I bless you. I thank you. You speak well. You know, we normally speak well when somebody dies. I always wonder, why don't we speak well of them when they're alive? Once they hit the grave, we speak well. We're waiting for that 5 minutes to talk everything good about that person. God has given you 50 years to live there. We won't say anything good. You see, the word bless means to speak well of. ഒരു വ്യക്തിയെ കുറിച്ച് നന്നായി സംസാരിക്കുന്നതിനാണ് ബ്ലസ് എന്ന് പറയുന്നത്. Praise the Lord. Now God speaks good about us. Did you know that? In the Bible, time and again, when we read, it speaks about the blessing. ദൈവത്തിന്റെ അനുഗ്രഹത്തെ കുറിച്ച് പറയുന്നു. And we come before God and we say, God, bless me. And God says, you are my child. I have saved you. You are my crown. I have blessed you. Now we stand there and say, yeah, that's okay, God. Bless me. God says, you are blessed, my child. Say, I know that, but God bless me. You know what I'm talking about. You see, we are actually looking for the blessings, not the blessing. There is a difference in the Bible between the blessing of God and the blessings of God. And many times we as believers, we get confused. We seek blessings of God. We always look to the hand of God. What does the hand of God symbolize? The hand of God, ദൈവത്തിന്റെ കരം എന്ന് പറയുന്നത്, it symbolizes God's power, ദൈവത്തിന്റെ ശക്തി. It symbolizes God's provision, ദൈവത്തിന്റെ എന്താ പറയുക, ദൈവം നമുക്ക് കരുതുന്നവനാണെന്നുള്ളത്. God is our source of supply. It symbolizes God's protection, അവന്റെ സംരക്ഷണം, അവന്റെ സഹായം. It all, you know, God's hand symbolizes that. But we know, time and again, we look to the hand of God and never to his face. There is a difference. When you look to the face, that's the presence of God. How many of us want to just stop looking at the hand of God and want to go beyond to the face of God? God wants us to seek his face and not just his hand. Are you with me this morning? We need to go beyond the blessings to the blessing. Go beyond the hand. Go beyond His power. Go beyond His provision. Go beyond His protection. And ask God, Lord, I need Your presence. Amen. That's what will satisfy you. All the gadgets that we have will not satisfy. Because the latest one will come. By the time you get from the shop, oh, seriously. By the time you get from the department store to your home, another product has come. The new model has come. We were in Hawaii for a training in the month of May. This was interesting. One guy came up with, everybody had this flash, pen drive. I mean, I was feeling I'm not even low tech, I'm no tech. And, I was standing there, everybody with, I brought a very small camera. And I didn't even take it out till the last day. Because everybody's camera was so high tech. And if I kind of take mine and then do this, it would just seem so odd. Actually, I'm honestly saying this. God is my witness. I didn't take the camera out till the last day. When everybody was over, then, I said, friend, please take a picture of me here and there, Because it was so flashy, everybody was like. And one guy came, and everybody came up with this 1 GB pen drive. And somebody went to the shop and brought a 4 GB pen drive and gave it, I paid $40. He thought he had done something great, He said, 4 GB. And everybody was like praising, latest one, Everybody's like, somebody came and said, listen, I asked that shopkeeper. He said, this will soon be over. 16 GB pen drive is coming out in the market soon. So, by the time you are so fascinated and the fascination still remains there, a new product has come. So these gadgets don't satisfy. What satisfies? It is the presence of God in our life. Only the presence of God will satisfy your life. Only His hand of blessing on your life will satisfy. Not even the things that He gives. It's what God speaks about you. Does God speak well about you? You see, the blessings of God are received. The blessing of God is spoken. I'll prove that from scripture this morning. Remember when Jesus was baptized, a voice came from heaven. The Father spoke the blessing. What did He say? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's Matthew 3:17. Don't turn to it. You know it. Later on the Mount of Transfiguration, we see it repeated. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. That's in Matthew 17 verse 5. In both occasions, God the Father is pronouncing the blessing by speaking well or praising His Son Jesus. That's a eulogy. That's a word of appreciation. You speak well. God desires to speak well of you. We don't want that. We want what God gives us. You understand what I'm saying? We don't want to hear God. And even the words of blessing. We want the blessings. That's why we stand before God. Yes, Lord, that's all right. I know I'm a child. But I want You to bless me. What we're actually asking for is the blessings. And we get confused. This morning, let the Lord speak to us. The blessing is spoken while the blessings are received. The blessing is what God says about you. Blessings are what God gives to you because of what He has said. Amen? Amen. Does God delight or speak well about you? This morning, does God speak well about you? I want to encourage you. In the pursuit of blessings, don't miss the blessing. Even in the pursuit of God's blessings, don't miss God's blessing. Somehow, we Christians have kind of missed that. We are in a rat race. We're all going for the blessings. I want this, I want that. And we are constantly seeking God for what He can give. I might shake some of your theology this morning. That's okay. Not the major doctrines. But some concepts has to be shaken. You see, if you seek the blessing, since you're already blessed, you will now automatically get His blessings. Are you with me? It's okay to ask God for blessings. I'm not against that. But I want you to understand this well. Because you are blessed by God, because God speaks well of you, because God has commanded His blessing, He has spoken something about you, the blessings of God will automatically follow and even overtake. Don't go after the blessings. David said in Psalm 23, we know it by heart, surely goodness and mercy, say it, shall follow me all the days of my life. I will not follow after goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy will follow me. Amen. All the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. What God is looking for is commitment. I will dwell. That's a commitment. It's a decision. A will is involved. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. But goodness and mercy will follow me. The problem is today's Christianity, we are following goodness and mercy. We are following, the blessings, and we have missed the blessing of God.
Don't go after blessings. Go after the blessing of God.
His favor, His approval, His delight, His pleasure, His smile.
How many of us want God to just smile on us? You want to just come into God's presence. You're not here saying, God, heal me. God, do this. I mean, it's all there. But you're here just to say, God, just smile on me this morning. Would you just speak well of me this morning? That is the blessing. That is the blessing, actually. Go after your smile. Look at Psalm 67, verse 1.
സംഗീതം 67:1-4 ഒന്ന് വായിച്ചു പെട്ടെന്ന്.
Psalm 67 verse 1. You see, that's what it is. God be merciful to us and bless us. Cause His face to shine upon us. Let God smile on you. Let God smile on you this morning. Remember Esther standing before the king for favor. When the king smiled, that was enough. That was enough. When God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, smiles on you, that's enough. You have the blessing, you have the favor, you have the approval of God. That's a picture of us standing before Almighty God. And when God smiles on you, looks at you with favor, and speaks well of you, you are blessed. Amen. We measure blessing with other things. What other people have. And you know, we compare a lot. Blessing is simply this, when God smiles. We come to even worship. I'm sorry to shake your theology. We come to worship even to what we get. Isn't that true? We come to, you know, to the aradhana, to the worship, and we say, in aradhana endhalum praabichondu ponam. I think we've got it wrong somewhere. You don't come to worship to get anything. You come to worship to give. I've lost half my audience. That's okay. You'll come back to me. When you come to worship, it is not what you get out of God. It's a wrong concept. Pentecostal theology has to be shaken with this. It is what we give. And listen, God doesn't want your offering. He wants you. There's a big difference, because we come to, you know, with our offerings, and you know, God, we are actually hypocrites, to be honest. You and I, we come, you know, as if we're trying to do some favor to God. When we drop a big note, as if we are doing God a favor, as if God needs that, you know. God doesn't want your offering, He wants you. Devathinu ninde yagamalla avashyam, ninne avashyam. Amen. God wants you. God doesn't want your tithe, He wants you. He doesn't want your 10%, He wants your 100%. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. 10% is only starting point. It is only a training to teach you to give. Because we like to keep. Even our prayers are so selfish. My name is Jimmy, Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me. We are so selfish, and God knows that. So He said, you better start by 10%. It's not a hard and fast rule. It's just a principle. We are so busy. So God says, take a day off. How? I'll show you. He created everything and He rested. He rested. If God needed rest, how much more? American Christians, wake up. If God needed rest, you and I need rest. At the end of the day, we are saying, Pastor, please pray for me. 21 days fasting, let's keep in the church. Because my, you know, this problem, that problem. Hey, learn to do the principles of God right. Take a break. Even Sundays we are working. And then we come with our offerings as if we are trying to impress God. God is not impressed by anything that you and I do. Listen, God is not impressed by anything that we do for Him. Don't go after His impression. Sometimes, you know, I lead worship, and you know, people come to me and say, oh, that was good worship. I felt good. I say, you got it wrong, brother. I don't say it, but you know, just not to offend. But I say it in my heart, you got it wrong. Worship is not about you having a good time. It's about God having a good time. It's about you pleasing the Father. Amen. When you touch His heart. When God looks and says, that sacrifice is good. I like that smell. I like that voice. It comes from the heart. That voice is not dependent on the music. It's not dependent on the quality of the PA system. It's dependent on an attitude of gratitude. And then when that comes out from the heart. And you give it unto God. Amen. God sits in heaven and say, I like that worship. Amen. Worship is not about you having a good time. It's about God having a good time. Amen. Do you please the Father? Or do we come to get? There's a difference between blessing and blessings. Jacob in the Old Testament had the blessing. While Esau had the blessings of his father's house. Everything in the father's house, in Isaac's house, belonged to Esau. Once Jacob is gone, who else is there? The blessings remained for Esau. Well, Jacob got the blessing. The prodigal son had the blessing of the father. One statement that the father makes, that was enough. It is not even what the father gave. It's just that statement that the father of the prodigal son speaks. The elder brother had the blessings. He was in the house. I mean, everything enjoyed by him. He had only the blessings. The prodigal son, as bad as he was, he received the blessing. There is a difference between blessing and blessings in the Bible. There is a difference. It all depends on the image of God. This morning, what is your image of God? Most believers have a wrong idea, warped up idea, a concept of God. Sorry to say this, but to some, God is like a holy cow to be milked. So we come every Sunday, we milk God. Sorry to use the illustration. But we, you know, God is like a holy cow. Lord, give me this, I need that. That's a picture of God, sad to say. A holy cow to be milked. To some people, God is like an ATM machine, a cash machine. You put a plastic, money comes. In Jesus' name, it has to come, you know, because I've said the mantra. I've said the miracle formula in Jesus' name. You see the concept of God? Are you with me this morning? We come to God, you know, I like aggressive prayers. It's okay. But you know, there are times when you need to hang on to the horns of the altar. But don't change your image of God. Because you said a secret formula, just because you said a mantra, doesn't mean anything to God. How are we different from the others then? It is not something that you and I can buy. It's not something that we can manipulate. Oh God, I'm fasting for 40 days. You better hear me. Who said? You know, we don't say these things. It just comes out indirectly. To some, God is like a watchman. Like a watchman, a security officer. Or like a watchdog, an Alsatian dog. God, I'm going to sleep, you take care of me. I'm going to drive, you take care of me. Oh, I mean, you need to pray before sleeping and driving. But you know what I'm talking about. Many of us come to God only for blessings. What I can get from God. Isn't that true? For many people it's like that. It's very sad. It's a tragedy in the church. I need this, I need that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. See you tomorrow. Imagine my children. Listen. Imagine, I have three girls. Imagine my children come and say, Daddy, I need this, I need that. Oh yeah, we give them. Even before they ask, we know what they want. We have gone through the pencil and the rubber stage. So when they come and, you know, give me a kiss and all that, you know what they're up to. You know, when they come and do all that, you know what they're up to. We've gone through the pencil stage. But if my children come only to ask me for pencil and rubber, the only time you come to your father is when you want something. I'm going out, I need 10 bucks. You know, some people's relationship with their father is like that. And some people's relationship with God the Father is also like that. Hello? I need this, I need that. Only the blessings, only the hand, not the face. We don't have time for the face. We don't have time. We have time for our faces, but you know, we don't have time for God's face. We do that to our Father in heaven, right? And it's sad. As a father, I will feel bad. But I just like if my kids just come and say, oh, Daddy, we appreciate you. Just one kiss. Why did you kiss me? No, for no reason. How many of us do that really? How many of us really? You understand what I'm saying? How God wishes in heaven as a father that his children will come to him and say, Lord, I thank you. I sing you this song of love, not because of what I want from you, not because I have a need, but because, Lord, you are too much for me to understand, because you are so awesome, because you are beautiful beyond description. Just few words of praise as it comes out. You know, God says, wow, that's all I long to hear. As a father, he will give you what you want. Don't worry about it. He will supply all your needs. But go for the blessing of God. Amen. How much that we would go and say, Abba, Father, Daddy, I bless you. Would you speak well of me? Would you be proud of me? We want the blessing of God. The Bible says in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The additions will come. The blessings will come. You seek the kingdom. You seek the face of God. You seek the favor of God. You seek God's approval. You get the blessing. Blessings will come. We do it the other way around. Somehow we've got it ulta. We've got it the opposite way. We go after the additions. God says, no, it's the other way around. Seek first the kingdom. Don't seek the blessing. Seek him, his kingdom, his purposes, his will. Get his blessing and you will see blessings overtake you. Amen. Do we come to God to get something or to give something? This morning when you came into the presence of God, as you walked through those doors, as you sat in those pews, did you say, God, what am I going to get from you this morning? Hello? Sometimes we come, you know, God bless me. Oh, we know what we are saying. Oh, we are saying, God, I came to bless you.
I just came to say I love you. I just came to say I praise you. I just came to say, Lord, your grace is sufficient. It's more than enough for me. That's what God the Father is seeking. God is looking for worshipers. God is seeking worshipers who would in turn seek him and his face. If you are blessed, you will get his blessings anyway. So don't seek blessings. Expect the kingdom of God to follow. It doesn't work like that. Seek the blessing and the blessings will come. Is the kingdom of God top priority in your life? Ask yourself. God looks at the heart. You know, today people come to church for all the wrong reasons. Many come to feel good. Many come to feel entertained. Some come to get rich. Some come only to get their needs met. That is why once the healing is done, they don't come to church. Once the promotion is done, you won't see him. I'm scared to pray for promotion for some people. They come and say, Pastor, please pray for promotion. I know once I pray for promotion, God in his favor might give him a promotion, and then he gets too busy, he's out. Then he doesn't need God. What's your priorities? People come just to get blessings. It's okay, but that's not the main point. You've missed the point if you've come only for blessings. Many people use God. Hey, let God use you. Don't use him. Let God use you. Amen? Well, let me move on. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? Who is blessed, actually? How do we measure blessing in our life? How do we measure blessing from God? It's by looking at a person's home. Turn with me to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. In your Bible, Sankirtana 128. Uru vyaktiyude bhavanathe nokkiyana avante anugrahathe namukku measure cheyan pattum. Amen. നിങ്ങൾ എന്നോട് യോജിക്കുമോ എന്ന് എനിക്കറിയില്ല, ബട്ട് യു നോ ദർ ഇസ് എ ഡിവൈൻ ഓർഡർ വിത്ത് ഗോഡ് ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് ദ ഫാമിലി. മേ ബി യു ഹേർഡ് ദിസ് ഇയർ ബിഫോർ. യു നോ ഗോഡ് മെയ്ഡ് ആഡം ആൻഡ് ഈവ്, നോട്ട് ആഡം ആൻഡ് സ്റ്റീവ്. ഗോഡ് മെയ്ഡ് ആഡം ആൻഡ് ഈവ്, നോട്ട് ആഡം ആൻഡ് സ്റ്റീവ്. ദർ ഇസ് എ ഡിവൈൻ ഓർഡർ, എ മാൻ ആൻഡ് എ വുമൺ ആൻഡ് ചിൽഡ്രൻ ഇൻ ദ ഹോം. ആൻഡ് വെൻ യു ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് വണ്ടർഫുൾ ബ്യൂട്ടിഫുൾ പിക്ചർ ഓഫ് ദ ഫാമിലി ആൻഡ് ദ ഹോം, that's where you measure success. Who is blessed? Let's read that. Verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. Who is blessed? Everyone, anyone. Anyone can be blessed. But there's a condition attached to it. One who fears the Lord. Do you fear the Lord? One who fears the Lord. And fearing the Lord is just not important. Just not enough. Sorry. Just not enough. You need to walk in his ways. സമുദായക്കാർ ഒത്തിരി പേര് ദേ ഫിയർ ദ ലോർഡ്, നമ്മളൊക്കെ ദൈവഭയം ഉള്ളവരാണ്. ഇനി നമ്മൾ പറയുന്ന ചിലരൊന്നും അവർ പറയത്തില്ല കേട്ടോ. ഇച്ചിരി ദൈവഭയം ഉണ്ട് അവർക്ക്. ദൈവസന്നിധി വന്നാൽ അവർ മുട്ടുമേ നിൽക്കത്തുള്ളൂ. ചിലർ കത്തോലിക്ക എനിക്കറിയാം. ദേ ഹാവ് മോർ ഫിയർ ഓഫ് ഗോഡ്. ബട്ട് ഫിയർ ഓഫ് ദ ലോർഡ് ഇസ് ജസ്റ്റ് നോട്ട് ഇനഫ്. യു നീഡ് ടു വാക്ക് ഇൻ ഹിസ് വേയ്സ്. വി നീഡ് എ കോമ്പിനേഷൻ ഓഫ് ബോത്ത്. ബ്ലെസ്ഡ് ഇസ് വൺ ഹൂ, എനിവൺ ഹൂ ഫിയേഴ്സ് ദ ലോർഡ് ആൻഡ് വാക്സ് ഇൻ ഹിസ് വേയ്സ്. Amen. Fearing the Lord and walking with him is inseparable. You can't just take that off. It's like the two sides of a coin. Fear the Lord, walk in his ways. Sunday morning, fearing the Lord, and then Monday to Saturday evening, that's a different story. No, walk in his ways. Then you are blessed. Who is blessed? Verse 1. Now come to verse 2. When you eat the labor of your hands, ninde kaygalude adhwana phalam, vallavante kayde alla, not somebody else's hand, your hands. There's too much of exploitation in the workplace today. And centuries ago, the psalmist, inspired by the Spirit, wrote these beautiful words. You will eat the labor of your hands. I'm asking you, brothers and sisters, are you eating the labor of your hands? Is somebody else eating the labor of your hands? Or are you eating the labor of somebody else's hands? I know you won't like this, but there's too much of exploitation. Somehow we've become so smart. You know, Solomon asked for wisdom, and soon he became more smarter than God. You know what happened? We become wiser than God. Don't exploit people. Your happiness comes out of the labor of your hands. What you work, you need to get. You understand what I'm saying? Don't take somebody else's. From your boss, from your company, or from your subordinates. Don't take it. It doesn't belong to you. He will be happy, she will be happy, when he or she gets the labor of his or her hands. But you will be happy
You will be happy when you get the labor and you enjoy the fruit of your labor. Your happiness comes out of the labor of your hands. Verse 3. Your wife, not somebody else's, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. You know, like a fruitful vine, where? In the call center. In the hospital. In the pharmacy. No. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Some wives are fruitful outside, not inside. I don't know why. You know, with this all the 21st century culture. It's okay. Working women, it's okay. I'm not saying it's wrong. Because Bible has a balance everywhere. But if you are not fruitful in your own house, I should look here. If you are not fruitful in your house, something's wrong somewhere. And men, if they are not fruitful in your house, something's wrong somewhere. Fruitful vine. I'm glad it says wine. What is wine? Wine needs support. Men, wake up. Wine needs support. Your wife needs support. Wives, mothers, you need support. Don't think you can make it alone. You can't. Because the Bible says so. Wine needs support. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. In your house, in the very heart of your house. Some translations have, you know, taken it away. I think, you know, they were influenced by the women's lib. In the sides of your house. Some translation says that. In the sides of your house, your wife. No. In the very heart of your house. That's what the Bible actually says. In the very heart of your house, your wife will be like a fruitful vine. What about your children? Read that. Oh, what a picture. Wife has a fruitful house. I remember reading the newspaper the other day. You know, Franklin Graham, son of Billy Graham, talked about Ruth Bell Graham, the mother who just passed away recently. Billy Graham's wife. And Franklin Graham, you know, making the eulogy. He said this statement. I just wrote it down. It came in the papers the other day. The mama that we saw at home was the mama that the world saw. Is a son saying about a mother? The mama that we saw at home was the mama that the world saw. No two different, no dual personalities. It's the same mama that we saw outside. Same mama in the house. How many of our children will say, "Mama, you're the same." You're not two different, you know, people. There's no split personality here. There's integrity when you hear that those words. Your children will be then like what? Olive plants. Olive plants. Around the what? The table. Not around the television. Around the table. You know, today we have thrown the table out. That's in the storeroom. Where's the table? In the storeroom. And we have put the TV right there. The table is a crucial part of your family. The table is a crucial part in your home. That's where you sit down with your wife and your children. And when you eat a meal together. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, in your busyness, please take time to have at least one meal with your family together. Entire family together. At least one meal. It will change your married life. It did for me. I know that. I know what I'm talking about. There was a time, 9 o'clock, the cereal will come or the news. We are addicted to some things, you know. Even preachers. Don't think that we are, you know, we got, you know, two horns and a tail. No. Yeah, somebody said, praise the Lord. Are you saying that we do have a two horns and a tail? We preachers are the same. We are men like you. We are people like you. One day I said, enough is enough. I said, honey, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. All of us are busy eating and watching. Somebody is talking something, who cares? We are eating and watching. Thankfully, we are not addicted to the colas, you know. But, you know, eating and watching. I said, enough is enough. Stop it. Stop this nonsense. We switched off the television, started having meals together. It changed our marriage. It changed our family life. I'm telling it. It is never too late to begin anything. Are you blessed? The table is crucial. The fellowship, the impartation of values take place around the table. When your wife is in the very heart of the house, fruitful. Your children are like olive plants. Olive plants. Olive thaigal. Mullumurikkan nallavadirikkin. Not thorny plants. Olive plants surrounding you. Your children should surround you. Surrounding you. What does olive mean? Olive gives oil, right? Wine gives wine. Wine gives wine. Wine gives wine. What does wine do? Wine is symbolic of joy. Right? In the Bible. It is symbolic of joy. But look at olive. Olive gives oil. Oil is used for lubrication, cooking, for healing, for light and warmth. Your children should bring these things to your home. Your children should bring warmth to your home. Should bring some lubrication, less noise and cracking noise in the house. Your children should be lubricating the house, surrounding you, around the table. Hey, that is blessing. According to the Bible, that is blessing. That is blessing. You see, Howard Hendricks said, if your faith doesn't work at home, don't export it. If your faith doesn't work at home, don't export it. Oh, that caught me. That caught my attention. I said, God, I need to check. My family is my first ministry. Preachers, your family is your first ministry. Brothers, your family is your first ministry. Sisters, your family is your first ministry. The center of your life is not your workplace. It's your home. Amen? Amen? That's the center of your life. It's not even the church. Don't get me wrong, but it's not even the church. The center of your life is not even the church. It's your home. What begins at home comes to church. Don't expect it the other way around. It doesn't happen. Work at your home. Work at your family. And then things will go well. Look at verse 4. It goes back to the fear of God. The foundation of God's blessings. Read it. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed. How? Thus shall. Verse 2 and 3. When that happens, that's how a man shall be blessed. When that happens in your home, you can take it for granted from God. You are blessed. Amen. Thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Goes back to that foundation of fearing the Lord. Verse 5. It's a lifetime blessing. The Lord bless you out of Zion. May you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. It's a lifetime blessing that God has. Wow. Verse 6. Yes. May you see your children's children. You will impact not just your generation, but the generations to come. When all is done, when everything is done, you have left a legacy. You have passed on values. The faith of your fathers have been passed on. Your family is all right. You may not have a big bank balance. You may not have a big bungalow. You may not ride the latest car. You won't have the latest gadgets. That's okay. When your family is around the table and there is fruitfulness, there is joy in the house. There is peace in the house. That's what that psalm ends by saying. Peace be upon Israel. That's the word shalom. When you finish your work on earth, you have passed on what you learned from God to your children. You've impacted even your next generations. Your job on earth is done. இந்த மக்களுக்கு அது பாஸ் செய்து கழிஞ்சால் விசுவாசமும் வேல்யூஸும் பாஸ் செய்து கழிஞ்சால் நின்ற ஜோலி தீர்ந்து அடுத்த தலைமுறைக்கு கொச்சு மக்களுக்காய்ட்டு அது போய் கழிஞ்சா ஒன்ஸ் இட் இஸ் பாஸ் டவுன் டு தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ஜெனரேஷன் யுவர் ஜாப் இஸ் ஓவர் ஷலோம் யூ ஆர் அட் பீஸ் ஆமென் யூ ஆர் அட் பீஸ் ஐ வாண்ட் ஆஸ்க் அஸ் திஸ் மார்னிங் ஹவ் இஸ் யுவர் ஹோம் ஹவ் இஸ் யுவர் ஹோம் ஹவ் இஸ் யுவர் ஃபேமிலி இஸ் இட் அ பிளேஸ் ஃபார் ரிலேஷன்ஷிப்ஸ் Family is at the center of life's meaning. Individuals linked together by a golden chain of love. Family celebrates triumphs and shares adversities across generations and across miles. Like a never-ending hug, family encircles each member with steadfast devotion and enduring love. Family is belonging to and believing in each other. Amen. God help us and bless our families and our homes for His glory and His name's sake. I want to close with this. Are you leaving a legacy? I wanted to do it the other day, but let me just go very quickly. The story is told of Jonathan Edwards and Max Jukes. Maybe you've heard this before, but let me run through quickly. The family of Max Jukes, a man of no principle who lived in New York. He did not believe in Christ or in Christian training. He refused to take his children to church, even when they asked to go. He married a girl of like character in 1677. Among his known descendants, 1,200 were studied. 310 were professional beggars. 440 had lives that were physically wrecked by debauchery and uncleanness. 130% to prison for an average of 13 years each. 7 were murderers, 100 were alcoholics, 60 were habitual thieves, 190 were public prostitutes. Only 20 out of 1,200 dukes ever had gainful employment. The others were either criminals or lives on state aid. This notorious clan or family cost the state of New York a total of $1,200,000 in welfare and custodial charges back then. They have not made a single positive contribution to society. On the other hand, the family of Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards lived in the same state at the same time as Max Jukes. He loved the Lord and saw to it that his children were in church every Sunday as he served the Lord to the best of his ability. He was from a good Christian family, married a girl of like character. From among his traceable 1,400 descendants came 300 clergymen, priests, missionaries and theological professors. 75 authored good books. 13 were college presidents. 65 were college professors. 100 lawyers in the family. And a dean of an outstanding law school. 30 judges. 66 physicians. And a dean of a medical school. 80 holders of public office. 3 U.S. senators. Mayors of large cities were in the family. Governors of 3 states. A controller of the U.S. Treasury. 1 vice president of the United States of America. The family wrote 135 books and sent 100 missionaries overseas. His family never cost the state 1 cent, but had contributed immeasurably to American society. Bow your heads with me. How is your family? This morning, how is your family? Your family, your home is the center of everything in your life. How is your family? Do you have the blessing of God? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord give you peace. May the Lord smile on each of you this morning. God bless our homes. Bless our families in Jesus' name.